KQED. Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Penny Nelson. Hundreds of bills await final action by state lawmakers in Sacramento before the end of the year recess in just over a week. Some bills will pass and will find their way to the governor's desk, and some will frankly just not make the cut. We talk now with Guy Marzorati with KQED's California Politics and Government Desk. He's in Sacramento keeping tabs on what's going on in the State House. Good morning, Guy.
Good morning.
So tell us, what big packages are still left to sort through in Sacramento?
I think the biggest one is legislation to address the state's affordable housing crisis. The latest as of this morning, legislative leadership is still trying to wrangle the votes it needs, in particular for Senate Bill 2. That's a proposed fee on real estate transactions like a deed, like a mortgage refinance, with the goal of creating hundreds of millions of dollars for the development of new units to address the shortage that we have in our state. The fee needs a two-thirds vote. Democrats have exactly two-thirds of the members in the Senate and in the Assembly. Some moderate Democrats have been hesitant to sign on, especially after, you know, previous controversial votes earlier in the year to raise the gas tax and to extend cap and trade.
And where's the governor on this?
Well, the governor stands in support of Senate Bill 2. He stands in support of Senate Bill 3, the affordable housing bond, also with legislation to reform local housing rules. But I think just as important as where he stands on the bills is where he actually stands literally. And the answer to that has been in Russia. He's been at an economic forum there, and he hasn't been around this week to make the public pitch for the housing package. We know that Governor Brown can be the ultimate closer for big bills like this. We've seen him rally support, generate memes with speeches he's given this year in support of road repair, in support of cap and trade. But he hasn't made that public pitch yet with this housing package.
All right. And on another topic, all year we've been following bills in the state Senate that have looked to reform California's juvenile justice system. So what's the latest with that package?
Yeah, this is a group of bills put forward by two Southern California senators, Holly Mitchell and Ricardo Lara. It got a big win yesterday. The legislature sent Governor Brown Senate Bill 190 that would eliminate fees that some counties put on families when they have their kid in juvenile hall. Another bill in the package that would have actually set a minimum age that a child can even be in juvenile hall. That bill was shelved for the year because of pushback from district attorneys and police chiefs. And in the next week, we'll likely see votes on some other bills in this juvenile justice package to give parole hearings to juveniles who are sentenced to life. And then another bill that to make sure juveniles actually consult with a lawyer before they waive their Miranda rights.
All right. Well, we'll be watching in the next week. Thanks so much, Guy Marzorati.
Thank you.
15 states in the District of Columbia filed suit yesterday to block President Trump's decision to end the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, or DACA. Attorney General Javier Becerra told KQED that California plans to file its own lawsuit against the Trump administration over DACA soon, but he didn't say when. Meanwhile, Silicon Valley tech executives were not happy with the president's decision to end DACA. Quina Kim, senior editor of KQED's Silicon Valley desk, reports.
In an email to employees, Apple CEO Tim Cook said he was, quote, deeply dismayed with the president's decision and vowed to work with Congress to pass a bill protecting DACA recipients, or Dreamers as they're called. CEO Mark Zuckerberg wrote on Facebook that the decision was particularly cruel. And so it went with the heads of Google, Uber, Lyft, and Airbnb, among others. Karina Macias is a dreamer and was brought to the States from Mexico when she was 3 years old. She works at a biotech company in the Bay Area.
It's been comforting to see so much support from a lot of the CEOs and other people in power within the tech industry.
While cynics might dismiss the statements as more words, Macias says when CEOs speak out, it makes workers feel safer. And that's important in tech because a significant portion of the workforce is either foreign-born or children of immigrants. For the California Report, I'm Quina Kim.
Toxic algae is still a huge problem in the waters off the California coast. The algae thrive in the warming ocean, and the toxin they contain is poisoning some animals. KQED's Lindsay Hoshaw visited the Marine Mammal Center in Sausalito, where those animals are being treated.
The patient on the operating room table is Otto, an 8-year-old southern sea otter. He's poisoned with domoic acid, a neurotoxin which occurs in some algae. The veterinarian has made a 2-inch incision on his abdomen.
So now we're into the body, essentially into the body cavity.
Dr. Mike Murray is a vet from the Monterey Bay Aquarium. He's going to insert 2 tags in Otto's abdomen. After Otto's release back into the wild, they'll track changes in his body and behavior, which could be related to domoic acid poisoning. Sean Johnson is the center's director of veterinary science.
So you can see the electronics that are in there, mm-hmm. that are measuring light, temperature.
The device will track the otter for the rest of his life. Johnson says it's the first time in 14 years the Marine Mammal Center has treated otters. The center is joining a larger effort to rehabilitate sea otters to understand how diseases like domoic acid are affecting them.
He was a great patient. Didn't complain one little bit.
In about 3 weeks, Otto will be released back into the ocean. But scientists won't find out how Otto and others are affected until they die, and scientists can retrieve the life history tag. That could be 15 years or more if they live a full life. For the California Report, I'm Lindsay Hoshaw in Sausalito.
And in other environmental news, 3 people are in custody in Southern California accused of selling ivory products in stores and online. The prosecutions are the first under a new state law banning the sale of ivory in California. The products found on sale included elephant tusks and rhino horn.
Support for the California Report comes from Collective Health. Through technology, design, and human support, Collective Health offers companies and their people a new way to experience health benefits. CollectiveHealth.com. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected, on the web at theschmidt.org. And Barracuda Networks, security, data protection, and application delivery solutions for physical networks and public cloud services. Learn more at barracuda.com/products.
And that's the California Report for Thursday, September 7th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Penny Nelson. I hope you have a good day.